This reading comes from Acts 1, verses 1 to 26. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, where he fell headlong, his body burst open and his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it,' and 'May another take his place of leadership.' Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles.
Psalm 119, verse 28. "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." Father, many of us are weary at this time, so we pray that your life-giving word might indeed strengthen us, that in these days we might live well and for your glory. Amen. I do suspect many of us are weary. We're 2 months into lockdown, and many of us feel quite stuck. Although some restrictions are being eased, we know life will not quickly go back to normal. Perhaps some of you will be returning to school soon, but you've been told school will be rather different. You were looking ahead to starting university, but that's up in the air. You have returned to work, but your workplace looks nothing like it used to. Or you're simply facing the prospect of many weeks or months unable to meet with friends or loved ones. How are we going to get through this? Or maybe you are facing your own personal crisis within this. Where do you go from here? And what about the church? When will we be able to meet together again? And how is that going to work? How can we make an impact in our area and reach people with the good news of Jesus? Maybe we were feeling that anyway, before all this happened. Are you feeling weary with it all? Well, if so, then I have good news for you, because this week we are starting to look at one of the most encouraging and energizing books in the Bible. Just hear what the great Welsh preacher Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said about the book of Acts. He said, "Live in that book. I exhort you. It is a tonic, the greatest tonic I know of, in the realm of the spirit." A tonic is something that picks you up, refreshes you, and makes you feel better. And that is what the book of Acts can do for us. If we take this book to heart, it will widen our vision, weaken our pride, strengthen our faith, and stir us to action. And it can start to have that effect right from the off. Just one big main point today. The Lord is working out his plan. The Lord is working out his plan. And then at the end, we'll think through some implications for us. When you face a challenge in life, it's good to have a plan. At the moment, if you don't have very much to do, the advice is to make yourself a timetable. Give yourself a list of tasks to tick off. A plan for your day can provide a sense of purpose, and you can feel more productive getting things done. When someone faces a crisis, it often helps to consider your options, get some advice, and make a plan. Many are desperate for the government to explain their plan and timetable for coming out of lockdown. But of course, they're finding it very difficult because so much is uncertain and out of their control. But we do love a plan, don't we? In many movies, there's that turning point when the hero's in trouble, then he figures out a plan. Well, the beginning of Acts assures us that the Lord has a plan. Not only that, but he is working his plan out. That comes over even in the very first verse, which says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven." The writer is Luke. The former book he mentions is Luke, his gospel. But by saying that book was about what Jesus began to do before he went to heaven, he suggests that he's now writing about what Jesus continued to do once he was in heaven. Now, maybe we need to correct our thinking there. We think of Jesus actively at work in the Gospels, living, teaching, healing, dying, rising. And then when he ascends to heaven, as we remember today, Ascension Sunday, it's over to the apostles, over to Jesus' followers, like us, to do what we can until he returns. And we think, oh, he doesn't do very much until then. Well, Acts should put us right on that one. The book is known as the Acts of the Apostles, but it could just as properly be called the Continuing Acts of the Lord Jesus, as he worked by his Spirit through the apostles. And there's no break in the action. In our Bibles, we find John after Luke, and so we get to Acts, and we imagine it goes, sometime later, all this happened. But actually, it picks up where Luke left off his gospel. Luke's gospel ends with the ascension, and that same event is reported here. There's an overlap, which is important, as we'll see the main point here. Not only is Lord Jesus actively working, he has a plan. His plan is different from what the disciples are expecting. If you look at verse 6, it says, when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" John Calvin says on this verse that there are almost as many mistakes in the disciples' words as there are words. We'll see those as we go on. But Jesus replies that such times and dates are not for them to know. And then he sets out the plan in verse 8. Now, some children in Sunday Club might be able to tell you this because it has been their memory verse. You could even press pause and see if they want to have a go to remember it. But here's Jesus' plan. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, if you're thinking, this all sounds familiar, I'm sure I heard something like this recently, well, that's because of the overlap between Acts and the last chapter of Luke, which we looked at just after Easter. Let me read what the risen Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 24, verse 46. He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." So put it together, and this is the Lord's plan. We can see three stages here. Stage one, the Christ will suffer and rise again. Stage two, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Stage three, the gospel proclaimed to all nations. And then if we look ahead to verse 11 of Acts 1, after Jesus is taken into heaven, we hear about a fourth stage. While the disciples are looking up, men in white, we presume angels, say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Stage four will be the day Jesus returns to judge the world and save his people. This is God's plan. Jesus gives us four stages, four marker posts, which plot out God's plan for our world. And the thing we need to see is that the plan is well underway. Jesus has been working out his plan. So stage one has happened. Jesus, the Christ, the promised Messiah, did come and suffer and die and rise again. Read the full story in volume 1. But thank you, Luke, for the handy summary in verse 3. It says, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Do you remember from Luke 24? Do you remember Jesus' resurrection appearances to his disciples? How he spoke with them and showed them his wounds and ate with them, demonstrating he really had risen again. And that was vital because they are going to be witnesses to what they have seen. We don't have time to get into the second half of Acts 1, but when they replace Judas, they need someone else who has been with them throughout Jesus' ministry and who was a witness of Jesus' resurrection, of stage one. Hence they choose Matthias. But that stage is done. It's been ticked off. Stage two, the giving of the Spirit, well, that has also happened. Now, in this passage, it's just about to happen. At this stage in Acts 1, Jesus has put the disciples in lockdown, in a way. You see verse 4? It says, "On one occasion when he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about.'" They need to wait until they receive the Spirit. But then we'll find out next week how that happens in chapter 2. But this is going to be a huge moment in the unfolding story of the Bible. You see, in the Old Testament, that the Spirit of God only came on special people to empower them for God's service at certain times, some judges and kings and prophets. But the prophets spoke of a time when God would give his Spirit to all people. Well, it was hundreds of years later that John the Baptist appeared, and he spoke of one who was about to arrive. "I baptize with water," he said, "but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." Jesus echoes those words in verse 5 here. He says, this will happen in a few days. And it did. The Holy Spirit has now been given to empower all God's people. That's stage 2. Stage 3, the gospel proclaimed to all nations. Now this is especially relevant to us because this is the stage we are living in now. If you can remember the days when you could visit a tourist attraction, whether it be an historic town or a theme park, you know if you're in those places, if you lose your bearings, you're always glad to see one of those maps with an arrow pointing and saying, you are here. Well, this is where we are in stage 3, the time when the gospel is being proclaimed to all nations. We now see how wrong the disciples got it in verse 6 when they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They'd misunderstood the timing of his plan. They thought Jesus was going to bring everything to completion there and then, not understanding they'd have to wait for his return. They'd misunderstood the nature of his plan. Their talk of restoring the kingdom to Israel had political overtones. Perhaps they longed to escape Roman rule, wanted to overthrow the Romans. They were longing for a return to the great days of King David, when they were a prosperous and secure nation. They'd not remembered that Jesus brought change by the power of his word. He would build his kingdom through proclamation. And they misunderstood the scope of his plan. They could only imagine he had plans for Israel, whereas he wants them to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Which is an extraordinary thing to say, isn't it? Especially to these people, to this rather hopeless bunch of disciples. There's a story that imagines Jesus ascending to heaven and being welcomed by a delegation of angels. He receives thunderous praise for the great salvation he's accomplished through his death and resurrection. And then, when things die down, the angel Gabriel says, okay, Lord, how do you plan for everyone in the world to hear this amazing message? Jesus points down to this little group of ordinary men, some others. He says, I've sent them to go out and tell the whole world. Gabriel says, okay, and what are your other plans? And Jesus says, I have no other plans. It's extraordinary, isn't it? They were a group of very ordinary, very flawed people. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, they took this life-changing message out into the world. And one of the things that makes the book of Acts so thrilling is seeing that happen. We see the gospel spreading out from Jerusalem to Judea, onto Samaria, and then out into the Gentile world, until the book ends with the Apostle Paul in Rome, at the heart of the empire. Acts sets out the start of stage 3 of God's plan, the stage we're still in today, as we wait for stage 4, which will come when Jesus returns in glory. The Lord is working out his plan. Well, what then does it mean for us to live in the light of that plan? Some implications. Before I address those who are believers, just a word to anyone listening in who wouldn't call themselves a Christian at the moment. We're so glad that you're listening in. But I want to say to you that there is a challenge here to respond. Because at the moment, we live in this privileged time after the cross and resurrection, but before Jesus returns. Jesus' plan was for the good news of forgiveness and salvation through him to come to all people so that we can look forward to that day when he returns with confidence, knowing that we are right with God. So if you have not yet responded to him, the implication of this is simple. Come to him. Come to Jesus while there is still time. Pray to him. Or if you want to talk about that to someone, please don't hesitate to get in touch. For the Christian, what does the Lord's plan mean for us? I've got three things. First, be encouraged by the progress of God's plan. Our culture can often make us feel like we are an irrelevance in today's world. And maybe there are certain people who make you feel like your Christian faith has nothing going for it. Well, just watch the gospel spreading in Acts and be encouraged. It's a real tonic. See God working out his plan. And of course, it doesn't end at the end of Acts. The message of Jesus Christ has spread all over the world. A recent study said there are approximately 660 million evangelical Christians in the world today. And you're one of them. It's amazing to think, isn't it? It was almost 2,000 years ago that Jesus said these words and set out his plan, and he's been working it out ever since. Someone has said history is his story. Be encouraged that Jesus is working out his plan. Second, be envisioned by the scope of his plan. The disciples could only think very small, very locally, but Jesus has a plan for all people. So let's be those with a big vision. Let's be those who pray for the progress of the gospel around the world. Maybe start with our mission partners. Really exciting on Wednesday night to hear about the Delhi Bible Institute, being so encouraged by the fresh opportunities that have come through the present crisis. Do you perhaps have a connection with one country around the world that you could especially commit to praying for God's work to grow there? Or maybe we simply need our eyes opening to the people who are around us. We might never have imagined witnessing to our neighbours, but suddenly we're getting to see them much more than before. Do you go out on Thursdays to clap the NHS? It's not compulsory, but it's a brilliant opportunity to meet your neighbours. Get chatting. Start praying for them. Look for opportunities to serve them. Let God's plan open your eyes to those around you. And then third, be emboldened by the power behind the plan. In chapter 1, the disciples were in lockdown. They had to stay in Jerusalem to wait for the Holy Spirit. But then the Spirit came and everything changed. Despite their weaknesses, the Holy Spirit helped them to pray for God's help and then to speak about the Lord Jesus, and the message started to spread across the world. Well, spiritually speaking, we are no longer in lockdown. The same Spirit who empowered them dwells in us. Most of us are fearful about speaking about our faith, but the Holy Spirit can help us to pray for God's help and then to speak up and witness to our Saviour. We are not alone. It is not all down to us. The risen Jesus is working out his plan. Let's live in the light of it. Well, let's pray. Father, we praise you that you are working out your great plan of salvation, that even today people all over the world are coming to Jesus and finding grace and mercy in him. We thank you for your kindness in bringing your gospel into our own lives. Please forgive us when our vision and our prayers and our efforts are too small. Please would you stir up in us confidence in your word and in the power of your Spirit, and help us to pray and plan and speak so that in your mercy many more people may come to know of your grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.